toughest competitor you're ever going to meet is yourself. So we're not competing against others. You're competing with yourself in life to be the best that you can be.
And that's not easy to accomplish.
No, it's not easy to accomplish.
Sometimes it takes a lot of effort and coaching into having athletes understand it's you against you. Who cares about your competition?
I could run through that wall behind you right now. I'm getting fired up. It is my great honor today to be speaking to one of the greatest coaching duos in college athletics history, and it is none other than Al Karius and Frank Grammaroso of North Central College. Guys, thank you for coming on. It's truly an honor.
Well, thanks for having us.
It's great to be here.
Great to be here.
Great to be here with my good friend Frank Grammaroso and to be together with you here today, Paul.
Thank you. And let's just, for the viewers' sake, people that don't know who you are, I could try to list off the accolades. I could try to list off your relationship exactly, but it's just too many words. In summary, who are you guys? What have you done over the past few decades?
You know, Paul, sometimes I look in the mirror and I'm not sure who I am, you know, but the answer that I come up with, you know, when I do look there sometimes is that really I'm a product of every experience that I've ever had in my life. And every person that I've ever met, and you know, you learn and absorb from each one of these people. But I've been at North Central College for 57 years, and we've adopted a philosophy that Frank and I have adhered to during the 39 years he and I have worked together at North Central College. That's run for fun and personal best, which is a very simple saying, but it has a deep, profound meaning, in my opinion, in terms of its impact on people's lives. But I've been there for 57 years. And Frank?
Yeah, I was a high school teacher and coach, and starting out in 1975 after graduating from Northwestern University. And then in 1982, Al lured me out of the public school system to come to North Central College. And it's been a great marriage ever since.
Now, you said Northwestern University.
Correct.
That's a pretty tough school to get into. So what were you studying there? Just curious.
I was started in the School of Education because that's the only school that was accepting applications in the summertime when the coach there offered me an athletic scholarship in June. And I wasn't sure about being a teacher. And he said, well, that's just to get you in school, and then you can transfer into any department or school that you want to. And after fall term, being in the education department, I thought, well, maybe this is something I can do. And then certainly going through the program and thinking about being a coach, I stayed in the School of Education and became a physical education and health teacher and a coach.
In a high school setting,
yeah.
That's, and I don't mean to imply anything by saying this, but to go to Northwestern, one of the top 10 universities on the planet, in my opinion, in most people's opinion, and then to go to teach PE at a high school and coach a high school team, did that ever feel funny to you?
No, it's what I wanted to do. It's because, like Al said, meeting certain people and being influenced by, you know, grade school and elementary school coaches and, you know, the college coaches, it's just something I felt that's what I wanted to do.
I see. Understood completely. And how long were you there before you got the call from Al then?
I started teaching in 1975, and it was 1982 when Al was actually being recruited to be the head coach at Northwestern. And we met up, and he decided not to take that position and stayed at North Central and brought me over to North Central College.
Wow. Okay. And before we move on, I just want to get a little bit of a background. You were a talented runner, obviously. You grew up in Chicago. What high school did you go to, and how'd you do in your competitive career?
Well, I went to Holy Cross High School, which is now flattened. It's no longer. They knocked it down. Some things change. You know, I was down at the state meet. I wasn't a state champion or anything like that, but I was good enough to attract the attention of my college coach and offered me, athletic scholarship to go to Northwestern.
Wow. Okay. And Al, then, tell me about your upbringing. I know you're from Morton. You were a former Potter. Or maybe you're still a Potter, you know. Potters.
Potter at heart.
Yeah, right. The Morton Potters. Interesting story behind that name. But so you grew up in Morton. You went to the University of Kansas, is that right,
before going to U of I? I went to Kansas for one semester. And then, you know, it was kind of a philosophical decision on my part. That I felt, and I did, it was really not the coach's fault at Kansas, Bill Easton. He was a great coach, highly successful coach. But philosophically, I really just didn't feel like I meshed with the values that I had learned at Morton High School and the reason I competed at Morton High School. And at Kansas, it seemed more like a business to me and a job to me. And it was taking the fun out of a sport. And so I ended up transferring to University of Illinois and found the right philosophical match there for me, and was very, very happy with that move.
Mm-hmm. So you talk about this philosophy and your morals and just the way you kind of tick. You came from Morton, as we said, and that's a heavily apostolic Christian community. I've had an elder from the Fairbury AC Church on my show. I know all about it. I grew up in Fairbury. But what impact do you think that had on your psyche and your philosophy of both running and life?
I think it had a powerful influence and continues to have a powerful influence on my life and certainly my coaching and the philosophy that we adopted at North Central College and I wanted to adhere to, and that was to have a strong spiritual foundation. Years and years ago, and Grammy and I got a chance to meet with Dr. Jeff Duke when we spoke at down in Florida about a month ago, and he had written the book Three Dimensional Coach, and in that book he talked about three levels of coaches. Level one, he said, is the physical, and certainly I was brought up with my background with the physical being an important part of performance, which you have to prepare yourself. The scientific kind of approach for coaching, you have to know technique and you have to know what you're talking about. The physical side, he said 80% of coaches are at the physical level of coaching. He said 15% of coaches are at the psychological level. And he said that, at that level, you learn about the difference between intrinsic and extrinsic motivation. You learn about where confidence comes from. You learn about team building. But he said the highly successful programs that have sustained programs really are at another level. And he said only about 5% of the programs at the collegiate level are at that level. And he said they have a spiritual foundation. Call it a spiritual foundation. And I happen to have that spiritual foundation coming from my background at Morton, in Morton, at the Apostolic Christian Church, or you can call it a foundation of character, the values and virtues that make up for strong character. And that's what we wanted to really build our foundation on at North Central College, was that spiritual foundation. And to me, Dr. Jeff Duke said this, and he said, if you don't have a spiritual foundation, he said it's very difficult to sustain or have sustainability for the level one, the physical side of coaching, and level two, the psychological side of coaching. So that spiritual foundation had a profound impact on my life, my coaching, our philosophy, and our program at North Central College.
Wow. Well, Frank, Al, I mean, this is a college team you're talking about. You can't talk spirituality to a college team, can you? Didn't you ever get in trouble for that?
That's a great question. You want to answer it first?
Well, it's something that it's there. And you don't have to talk about it, but it's about team building. And it's being, treating someone with respect and treating, someone how you want to be treated. And not everybody buys into that. But performance was the least thing we were looking for, in the program. It was building people from the inside out, and the success and the championships were just validating what we were doing from the inside out.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the great John Wooden, coach at UCLA, coached from the inside out. And with these pyramid of success, he had talked about these values and virtues that make up for great character. And so you can always build around those. And again, in my opinion, it comes from a spiritual foundation, and we try to really adhere to that. And I would say, and I didn't thought if I get in any kind of trouble for this, that's fine with me. But I would say, and I would tell the athletes from time to time, I said, I believe in a higher power. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm not trying to tell anybody else how to believe, but I want you to understand where I'm coming from and the decisions that I make and the decisions that we make that fit into our philosophy, you know, really come from a spiritual foundation.
And, you know, the more I think about what you're saying, building from the inside out, starting with that spiritual foundation, that is the best way to do just about anything. That sounds very general, but I think that's the case. And I say that because look at the legal system in the United States. It's built on this premise that the cornerstone of the legal system is truly that we are made in the image of God.
Clean car says so much about you. That's why you need to head to All American Wash in Fairbury. From our massive bays, superior lighting, and undercarriage washing capabilities, to our high-powered jets, protective tri-gloss foam, and strong vacuums, you can be sure your ride will glisten like never before. Here at All American Wash, ease of use is a top priority. Our carefully designed app lets you scan your phone for instant access into our automatic bay, while receiving discounted rates and free birthday washes. Our layout lets you get right back on the road without any uncomfortable turns. And we know Americans work long, hard hours, which is why we're open 24/7 for your washing convenience. We have staff on site every weekday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. to help with anything you may need. And we even offer purified drinking water for only 25 cents a gallon. Experience the highest quality wash in Livingston County at an affordable price when you visit All American Wash in Fairbury.
That's the truth. That's where we get our legal system from, because if we're not made in the image of God, of something higher, then we're just animals. And why do we have to pay any certain respect that we don't pay to other things to human beings? Well, it's because humans are important. Why are they important? Well, whether you like it or not, when you boil that down, it's because we are extra special, because we're infinitely valuable, because we're made in the image of God. I just heard a psychologist talking about that the other day, but I think that's extremely true. You have to start with the base idea, belief that people are infinitely valuable because they're spiritual beings. They're made in the image of God, perhaps, and then you build out from there. It's because you're so special that we're going to push you in this way, maybe. Maybe you guys can explain this. How do you build from that idea, the core spiritual philosophy, and build out? Explain that to me a little bit.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I think, you know, I'm not a rich man, but if I pulled a dollar bill out of my pocket right now, you know, Paul, it would say, on it, in God we trust. And I do believe that the fundamental foundation for our country and its formation years and years ago, you know, came from our religious background and our adherence to the principles and values that come from God. I just something popped into my head right here. Maybe about 5 years ago, something like that, I was walking some recruits through our stadium. Actually, it was through our rec center at the time, and we have a summer camp going on there. Doug Bruno, who happens to be was assistant women's basketball coach, the Olympic basketball coach, and he had a basketball camping going on for women there. And he walked over to me, and I was throwing some recruits around and thought, man, I don't know what to quite say here with, you know, with him coming over. And I asked him this question. I said, hey, Doug, what, you know, how is it different coaching today's athletes, and I called them the millennial athletes, you know, than it was maybe years ago? And he said this to me, and it goes back to, I think, your question. He said, you know, Al, he said, the youth of today are not different. He said they have all kinds of mixed messages that are coming into their head and all kinds of confusing messages that are coming into their head. And he said, I feel my job and our job as coaches are to be consistent in giving them a foundation of truth and helping them to understand the values that helped make this country great to begin with. What are the values that this country is founded upon? And so he mentioned that, and I think that again goes back to that strong, fundamental, foundational, spiritual, foundation. And I think that when we separate ourselves, from that, then we are, going into not absolute truths, but, kind of man-made, truths and man-made ethics on Earth. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it does. It does, and it opens up a whole bunch more. But it seems like you're helping athletes sort through the noise and come back to this fundamental truth of whatever that may be, I guess, of spirituality maybe, of them being spiritual beings, children of God. I don't know. You're not saying it explicitly, but I'm getting these certain vibes, I guess. And Frank, what's it been like joining this team, I guess? You've been there for how many years now?
39.
And of course,
it's over.
It's over. It's over. But what was it like coming on to this scene from your time at Northwestern and then from high school? This had to be a different world working with Al if he was anything like he's talking right now when you first came aboard.
Well, I would say the number one thing I learned from Al was surround yourself with good people. And when I recognized that, I felt very honored that I was one of the good people that he needed to continue what he started at North Central. I arrived after he won 6 national titles in cross country, and one of the reasons he stayed at North Central was to build the track and field program to that same level. So it wasn't any mysterious, revelation. It was a marriage that just gelled. His strengths helped me, and my strengths helped him.
And I think you go back to that spirituality and call it character, yeah, if you want to. Call it character. The glue, the number one, I think glue in character is integrity. Integrity really pulls all the values together under character, the most important values, and pulls them together and to see how committed you are to those values. So there are all kinds of values under character, and you can be teaching them, and there are spirituality, but not directly, trying to get into,
selling religion.
Selling religion, that's a good point. Yeah. But we're selling, really good values that I think are absolutes for anybody and everybody in their life. Honesty, perseverance, loyalty, work ethic, discipline. I mean, you go on and on and on. There are so many things. So we really try to teach the athlete from the inside out. And then, in my opinion, it magnifies the God-given talent that they have and takes it to a higher level. Does that mean you're going to win? Absolutely not. But it does mean that you're going to make the most of the talents that you have if you can magnify these values that make up good character.
Yeah. We have hundreds of alums in our program that were not All-Americans, national champions, maybe never even ran in a conference championship, but they can still learn and understand what the message that we were given through character. Without, you asked earlier, that's, talking about spirituality, how do you deal with that? Well, you deal with it through the character and through those,
yes,
all the terminology that's available to them. They can learn to be successful at their own level and then go on in the rest of their life and using those characteristics, even though they weren't having the label of a national champion or an All-American, because there's hundreds of guys that have been through the program that didn't achieve that athletic success, but they, we coined a term, we build winners in life. And that's more important to us as coaches than it is all the championships and all the All-Americans and all the labels that we use in athletics. It was building winners in life.
Right. It seems like this well-refined philosophy that the two of you have helped formulate has been tested so much. It's tried and it's true, and it applies to every aspect of life, not just athletics, of mm-hmm. course, but life. And you said you make winners in life. Do you have any proof of that? Are there people that have gone on from your program to do good things in their personal lives or business lives or anything else?
Probably hundreds of examples. Yeah. And Grammy said, we've got coaches at the Division I level all over the place. And to start naming a few of them would be, you know, you'd feel badly about leaving them out. But we've got doctors. We've got, you know, people in
lawyers,
education.
You know, yeah.
Lawyers.
We've many, many teachers. And, teachers and coaches.
And yeah. And I can tell you this, Paul. You know, have I ever coached? We ever coached an Olympian? No, I've never coached an Olympian. So if you want to be an Olympian, North Central College is not a great place to go. But I do believe that we have helped produce winners in life by adhering to and promoting and supporting these fundamental values of character that help, you know, people to help them for their life for a lifetime.
It's like you run at North Central College, you're going to leave a better human. That's
yes.
the guarantee.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what
exactly.
means the most to us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It really does.
And I think the thing that it's kind of ironic, do we want to be successful? And by success, to me, success, the definition of success is we've all been given gifts by God. We've all been given talents by God. In my opinion, success is taking those gifts, those talents, and making the most of your God-given talents. So you can come in last in a race, but if you're making the most of what you've been given, that is successful. And it's not you against anybody else. The toughest competitor you're ever going to meet is yourself. So we're not competing against others. You're competing with yourself in life to be the best that you can be.
And that's not easy to accomplish.
No, it's not easy to accomplish.
Sometimes it takes a lot of effort and coaching into having athletes understand it's you against you. Who cares about your competition? You know, but that's one of the hardest things, especially for young athletes that come in the program.
The Compound, located on 800 North Division Street in Shenoah, Illinois, is a wrestling training facility for youth and high school freestyle, folkstyle, and Greco-Roman wrestling. Here we are driven to teach wrestling technique to athletes who strive for the highest levels of success in this sport. Athletes from the Compound have earned gold at IKWF, IESA, and IHSA state tournaments, as well as national and international competitions, and have gone on to wrestle for Division I colleges. For gold standard wrestling education and development, come to the Compound Wrestling Training Center in Shenoah, Illinois.
They can't understand that, can't grasp that. When they do, then the floodgates open and they're very successful.
Yeah, and we might ask ourselves, as coaches say, hey, is everybody listening to us? Does everybody understand what we're talking about? Okay, and you think that? And the answer is no. Not everybody is listening to us. Not everybody is absorbing it. But I firmly believe that those that do grasp what our mission is, making winners in life, those that grasp that, it's going to help them, and it will stay with them their entire life. And ironically, and yet not ironically, it's going to help them to become the best runners, the best athletes that they can be in the process too, to make the most of their talents.
Hmm. And many of them have said they understand it once they're gone. Once they're gone, they understand the process of what we were doing.
The things you guys are saying are gold. It's incredible. It's apparent you've been working together for years and years. You guys pick up where the other leaves off. You're of the same cloth. You're of the same mindset. I could run through that wall behind you right now. I'm getting fired up. Before we move on, how about we say this? People that tune into this might already know by this point what you guys have done. But Al, start with your individual career. just so people know. You're rolling your eyes at me. Why is that?
Because I don't really like talking about myself. But that's not – okay, I'll say this. Any successes that I've had personally or really the national championships that we have gotten, we're trying to be the best we can be. But the most important part of those trophies and all those accomplishments are not the trophies, not the things, because the older you get in life, the more you realize things don't mean anything. You know, they really don't mean anything. But what it does do is draw attention to the program and to give us more credibility. So when we do speak, you know, people listen to us and they think, well, you must know something about coaching. But our real message is the deeper, you know, a part of developing the person to the best of their ability. Then, you know, one of those great gifts, again, too, is I'm looking at my good friend, you know, Frank Grammaroso, and that is, one of the values that he has that he had really contributed to the program is he has never let an ego to get in his way. He was a highly successful runner himself, you know, when he was in high school and at Northwestern University, and he's been highly successful at North Central College with everything he's done, but it's always been with the idea of how can he help young people in their lives. And I mentioned this the other day. I asked you this question. I think you remember exactly what I'm going to ask you, but there was a sign you used to have above your desk all the time, and when he'd walk out, it said, I think something to the effect, have I done my best that I can for my athletes today? What would that sign say?
Actually, that sign came from a clinic at Indiana University. Oh. It might have been from Sam Bell,
okay,
a great coach down at many, many colleges and universities, but I think that's where I got that message from. And, yeah, I had it laminated and above the door. But I moved offices so many times in 39 years, I'm not sure what box it's in. I haven't found it yet. Mm-hmm. But the message was, as I walked out the door, you know, it was do your best for your athletes today. And that came in line with run for fun and personal best.
And he always did his best for me. And I always said this, and I'll say it right now. You know, many of the accolades and the things that I got credited to me really should have gone back to Frank Grammaroso. Without him, I never could have, you know, accomplished the things that I did. But anyway, yeah, we've had a lot of success. I had success as a runner.
Five-time Big Ten champion, is that right?
Yes, five-time Big Ten champion. I had success as a runner. I was state champion in the mile in 1960, but all those things. And again, our national championships. What do we have, 31 national championships, national championships?
19 in cross country, 12 in track and field.
But all those things just draw attention to what we really value the most, helping young people in a world where I think there's a culture of world warfare out there for young people. And again, I think that to give some stability and some internal strengths and anchors in their life right now is more important than ever before.
Okay. All right. So you're a humble man. It's hard to get the direct answers out of you. Five-time Big Ten champion. A multi-time state champion in high school?
Just one time. Second in cross country. I think it was 1959, and I won the state mile in 1960. I didn't really take up distance running until the year before. My junior year was the first time that I took up distance running. I played basketball. It was a different era, and I loved it, and I think it was an important era, and it's too bad that some of it's gone. But, you know, I played basketball for 4 years. I played football for 2 years. I played baseball, you know. Then I ran cross country for 2 years, my last 2 years, because I hurt my ankle my sophomore year in football. I played baseball for 2 years and ran track at the same time as that for 2 years and ran track for 4 years. So we did everything. But we went from one sport to the next because it was fun. It was enjoyable, and we loved being a part of a team, something bigger and more important than ourselves, you know, individually. And we enjoyed it.
In the 60s were an interesting time for running because, well, it was kind of bursting onto the scene. I read Shoe Dog by Phil Knight, the founder of Nike, and he wrote about how running was changing, especially when Nike came onto the scene. People didn't really jog. They didn't exercise really all that much. There were no gyms. Bodybuilding was ridiculously niche, but it was kind of coming onto the scene. Do you remember that time at all? What was that like?
You were absolutely. In a Nike shirt. Okay, I'm going to throw out one thing, and maybe you can capitalize on this, Grammy. But the great Joe Newton. Joe Newton was the coach at York High School. He's passed away, and he was a great, tremendous friend.
22 state, Illinois state championships, I believe, in cross country.
Tremendous mentor for us. And he had, one time, he invited us over to a dinner, I think it was Oak Brook, and he had Arthur Lydiard at his house, and he went out to dinner with Arthur Lydiard. In my opinion, Arthur Lydiard helped bring jogging to Oregon and to Phil Knight and the program there. But Arthur Lydiard really brought that concept over to the United States, and we got a chance to have dinner with him and meet him. What an exciting person he was. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
It was great.
Yeah.
And for collegiate coaching and high school coaching, Lydiard was the long, slow distance for training. But that got the running boom going a lot, too, with the jogging and road racing, those kind of things.
And to ask you then, Frank, a question about your individual career. You were at Northwestern, Big Ten school as well. That's an incredibly academically challenging school. What was your running career like there? And then if you want to say a little more about
I only have one Big Ten medal. I got fifth in the steeplechase in 1975, so I'm not a five-time Big Ten champion. But, sports, I grew up Catholic, went to a Catholic grade school, and we had a physical education coach, which I think, I'm not sure how it started in the 60s, but we did everything. We had basketball, we had football, we had soccer, we have track and field. I high jumped, in grade school, and ran the 220-yard relay. So each guy runs,
50. I've never heard of this.
I got a couple ribbons at home. 220-yard relay. We did all kinds of things in grade school, and then going to a Catholic high school, I knew I was going to be involved in sports, but I never went downstate in high school cross country. I went to the state track championships in the 2 mile, and but the other accolades I might have had, drew the interest from the coach at Northwestern and got an athletic scholarship to run in college. But in 4 years, I got one Big Ten medal.
Hey, that's nothing to sneeze at.
Fairbury Furniture is Central Illinois' premier furniture store. This family-owned business offers a vast selection of premium furniture items from all of your favorite brands, including Sealy, Best Home Furnishings, Leather Italia, Tempur-Pedic, and Ashley, just to name a few. And right next door to their gorgeous 7,000-square-foot furniture showroom, you will find the Fairbury Furniture Mattress Store, home to all of the latest and greatest mattresses in any and all sizes. Also inside Fairbury Furniture is the popular WC Market, a beloved shop that offers an ever-changing selection of unique gifts and fashionable home decor. Here at Fairbury Furniture, the staff is always helpful and friendly, and they are well-stocked with all the mattresses, tables, chairs, recliners, couches, and decorative pillows that your heart desires. So make your home interior beautiful, comfortable, stylish, and delightful when you shop at Fairbury's own Fairbury Furniture.
Come on down to Fairbury Furniture, where the furniture rocks.
One Big Ten medal while you're doing school at Northwestern. Yeah. A lot of times those great schools, you don't see Harvard and Stanford and Northwestern, unless you do, correct me if I'm wrong, at the top of the hierarchy in the sports world too often. Maybe in running. I feel like runners a lot of times they can be some pretty smart people. I can't be biased. I'm not a runner or a swimmer, but I see runners and swimmers a lot of the times being very smart people. And you see the football players, not to have a stigma against football players, and the wrestlers. I'm a lifelong wrestler. A lot of times they're not on that academic level. Is there any truth to that before we move on? What do you think? Is that just bull crap?
I believe in it.
I think the discipline.
That's the key word.
The self-discipline.
That's the answer.
And we've had some great runners who were wrestlers in high school
because
you're tough.
Right. You're tough and in pretty good shape, cut some weight.
We had some great former wrestlers that were in our running program, but it's the discipline in one area should relate to another area, and especially in cross country and distance running, we had some great team academic All-Americans a number of years in a row, and a few times the national academic team of the year, which is a combination of how well you did at nationals and what your total, not just the guys who ran, you know, because in cross country at the nationals, only seven athletes run the race, but with 50 guys on the team, they take everyone's grade point average, and you have to have a 3.1 to be an academic All-American team.
Sure.
Yeah, I think the discipline, Grammy answered very, very well, and I think I think Grammy has talked about this before too, about mental toughness. He said mental toughness is a skill that you learn. I think mental toughness is the self-discipline to do the right thing day after day after day after day, because that gets to be very, very difficult to be consistent doing the right things daily. And I agree with, you know, Grammy too, when he talked about, you know, wrestling. I think I've always said, I think that wrestlers, in my opinion, for whatever that's worth, in my opinion, wrestlers and distance runners have a similar self-discipline mentality, and they're tough from the inside out. And I think that if wrestlers had the body type sometime of being a distance runner, you take them and put them in a cross-country race, and they're going to be great distance runners because they're mentally tough. They've got mental discipline.
That's right. No, and you know what? I'm gonna build on that a little bit, because I'm a lifelong wrestler, like I told you, and I freaking love yeah, toughness. Yeah. I love this toughness, and I'm not here. You guys are being incredibly humble with your incredible. I'm gonna say something that's ridiculously not humble, but like after wrestling season, I was in some of the best shape of my life, and in high school, and I remember jumping onto the track right away after that, and being able to run up 4:45, 1600.
That's good.
No, and I mean, it wasn't.
That's great.
Look at me. I'm not built like a runner.
No, that's
it
great.
It hurt. I was crying, all, you know, not really crying, but making a whole lot of noise. Just because I could push myself harder than most other just track guys could. Once you start incorporating technique and whatnot in cross country, it's different. It just looks different. You see these guys suffering in silence. I did cross country for 1 year. I love watching track and field, though. I watch every world championships. I watch all the events. And it's a different kind of toughness. It's a suffering in silence, it seems like. What do I know, really? But let's talk about that. I was going to ask about North Central's accolades. We'll get to that. But let's talk about the mindset of a runner and the toughness and what that toughness looks like and what goes through their head when they're running. Whatever you want to start with, but let's talk about the mindset of a solid runner or one of your athletes.
Go ahead.
It's different for everyone, but, you know, it boils down to, you know, knowing yourself and being able to, you know, have the discipline. It doesn't just happen overnight. And nowadays, they want instant gratification, instant times, instant performances. The internet is filled with coaches. Media has all kinds of coaches, but trying to, you know, be at a base level where you're going to listen to, you know, what coach you're trying to. If you're in a school, you should be dealing with that coach and not an outside camp or outside influences. But you yourself have to look in the mirror and determine, you know, what direction you're going to go with the help of your teammates and the coach. And, you know, everybody's mind is a little different. I think it's a hard question to answer about what you talk about toughness. Is it a skill or do you just have it? That was a poster back in the 80s that we saw at Purdue University. We'd always sneak into another school's locker room and see what's there. And there was a poster that mentioned mental toughness. Is it a skill or is it inborn? And I've tried to study and read and understand that, and I'm still not sure. But is it a learned skill or is it something deep down that somebody has that makes them that much better?
I was just talking to Brent Metcalf, two-time national champ for the University of Iowa, phenomenal wrestler, and he talks about he was wired one way. Growing up, he could push him. He always strived to win. More than hating losing, he strove to win. Strove, is that a word? He really wanted to win. He pushed himself so, so hard, and he loved it. He loved the fight. He loved the struggle. He embraced that grind. He said, though, when he started coaching, and he jumped around to high school, and then now he's at Iowa State University assistant coach, but he said he realized not all kids are wired like that, and if you try to coach kids in the same way that you think you should have been coached, in the way that you would have responded to well, you're going to burn kids out. You're going to ruin kids. You're going to maybe throw kids into depression. You're going to break kids maybe. How do you – is that the case in running, first of all? Are there all sorts of different mindsets? And how do you adapt to each one?
You asked a lot of different great questions all in one. And, you know, there's a law in psychology called the law of effect. People tend to repeat those activities in which they find satisfying. Okay, so you have to get a sense of satisfaction. We all have psychological needs, sociological needs, physiological needs, but you have to get a sense of satisfaction from it. And Grammy talks about this, and we talk about it all the time. I think there's a defining moment that comes in everybody's life where they decide what they want to do, what they choose to do. And that depends on the difference between extrinsic and intrinsic motivation. Intrinsic motivation comes from within you, inside of you, where you have that defining moment where you make up your mind, this is what I want to do. I'm not being told to do this. I want to do it, and I choose to do it myself, and I get a sense of satisfaction from what I'm doing myself. So it's got, when you have that defining moment, and then you find I'm getting a sense of satisfaction from doing this, I'm seeing myself get better, you know, and improve and getting better and better and better, and this feels good, then that kind of builds on itself. And until you have that purpose, that coming from within, I think it's very difficult to sustain very long, because I think a lot of people, you know, will fall by the wayside. This great Joe Newton, I'm going to quote him here again, Joe Newton from York High School, he told me this one time, and Grammy knows exactly what I'm going to say right now. But he said one time, he said, you know, Al, he said, you know, there's many times that, you know, people say that, you know, my athletes don't go on and run in college. And he said, you know what? He said, that's not my problem. He said, that's your problem. He said, you're a college coach. It's your responsibility to coach them once they get to college. He said, my job as a high school coach is to give them the best experience that they can have in high school. And here's the answer. He said, you know why? I said, why? He said, because of all the runners that run in high school, only 3% are going to run in college. And he said, of that 3%, only 1% are going to continue to run until their senior year in high school. So why am I coaching them for college? I want to have them have the best experience in high school that they can. Now, that goes back to some of the things we've talked about. Not everybody's going to have that purpose. Not everybody's going to have that defining moment. Not everybody's going to have that intrinsic motivation. But it's got to be cultivated by, I think, wise coaching and wise the atmosphere, the culture, the environment that you create to help build that into the athletes' lives. And again, once they get that connection, once they're connected to that, that will stay with them for their life for a lifetime.
Mm. Yeah, the run for fun.
Yeah,
it's not. The workouts aren't fun. The runnings aren't fun. We've all been in situations where running was a punishment for us with coaches or physical education class or whatever. But the fun is the satisfaction. That's not what's in the wording. But that's achieving something you've never done before is where the fun comes in. So run for fun and personal best, you know, no matter what level you're at, it's striving to do something you've never done before, whether it's dropping 2 seconds in the mile or pole vaulting or high jumping or throwing the shot. It's getting a personal best. And the fun is the satisfaction you gain from all the effort that it took to do that. So it's not necessarily the fun in training and the, you know, certainly being with your teammates and the camaraderie of the sport should be enjoyable. But the fun we really talk about is the satisfaction you get from achieving something you've never achieved before.
And it's really not the medals or the trophies or the championships that really matter and last for a lifetime. We had a guy, quick story.
I know which one you're going to talk about.
Dan
Siebert.
He was
just inducted a few years ago in North Central Hall of Fame.
Yeah, great thrower, weight man for us at North Central College. And we had this great big track meets in the spring called Last Chance Meets, whatever. Anyway, we had this great big meet, and there's over 1,000 athletes all over the field at North Central College. And this one time, we had this meet going on, and one of my athletes came up to me and said, "Hey, did you hear about Dan Sievert?" I said, "No, what?" He said, "Well, Dan Sievert, won the hammer throw." And today I said, "Well, great. When I see him, I'll congratulate him." Then a little bit later, another athlete came up to me and said, "Hey, did you hear about Dan Sievert?" I said, "Yeah, he won the hammer." He said, "Yeah, we won the discus today. And he, set a meet record and qualified for nationals and everything." I said, "No, that's great. Where did I see him?" And then an administrator at North Central College saw me a little bit later. Said, "Did you see Dan Sievert? Hear about Dan Sievert?" I said, "Yeah, well, he won the hammer, won the discus, set a record and everything." He said, "Yeah, well, he won the shot put and set a school record at that and everything. He won all these labels and beat all these people and all these things." And I finally found Dan Sievert. I said, "Hey, Dan," I said, "congratulations on today." And you know what he said? He said, "Yeah, coach, today I got 3 personal bests." He didn't talk about beating anybody. He didn't talk about trophies. He didn't talk about qualifying. He talked about self-improvement. And again, that is the real measure of, I think, our lives, is helping to make the most of your God-given talent on a daily basis. And that's available to everybody, yeah. Not just the person that wins. The person that can come in last in a race, if they're doing the best that they can and maximizing and learning these eternal values, then they're successful. And we can profess that at a Division III program at North Central College. And that's been the foundation of what we do.
Do you two gentlemen, do you apply this to your lives, this idea of competing against yourself to improve just a little bit each day? Does it work?
I think it's time for your favorite movie.
All right, Groundhog Day? My favorite movie is Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. You saw that movie?
Of course,
it's great.
Of course.
It's a very spiritual movie when you really think about it. But he starts, and I'll tell you this, because he starts out, he's very self-serving and egotistical and into himself and everything. And he doesn't have a lot of friends because he's so into himself. And then through time, he learns through experiences that he's really not getting a sense of satisfaction from how he's living. And he eventually starts using every day to learn something that's going to help him to help others. And when he starts serving other people in his life, helping other people, then all of a sudden, people are attracted to him. So the more he gave to others, the more important he became in their lives. But when he was trying to impress people with things and his accomplishments, the more he turned people off. So that had a great, great message that we're all going through every day, competing with ourselves at different times in our life. Hey, I'm 80 years old now, so I'm still competing with myself every day to be the best that I can be for the condition that I'm in with who I'm at. Can I be what I was before? No, I'm not going to get personal bests going back to high school, college, or anything like that, but I still can be the best that I can be today, and that's my goal.
Yeah. We watch a lot of movies on the bus trips.
That was very incredible, though. In psychology, what you're saying is completely true. You look at the vocabulary of people who are depressed, and they say words like I, me, my,
yes,
an awful lot. It's the people that report the highest levels of happiness, though, that are their primary concern is not pleasing themselves, but is doing good for others. And that just seems counterintuitive from a purely non-spiritual perspective. Well, you'd think you work on yourself mostly. That's how you're going to get the most fulfillment, when you're really making sure you're doing everything right for yourself, bringing about your own personal well-being and happiness on a psychological level. But it's not the case, and it's a thing that you'd have to look at it through a spiritual lens in order for it to make sense, because it doesn't make sense from the outside, from a secular level. You help others, you sacrifice for others, and that's how you in turn become the most happy, the most fulfilled. That's what you really want. You don't want just happiness and joy and comfort and everything. You want to feel like your life is meaningful and you're doing meaningful things. You're striving to do good things. You want to work for them, even though working sucks. you want to work, you want to struggle. That's what makes it worth it. In some weird, twisted way, you guys probably understand this much better than I do. What do I want to ask here? What do you do when kids just don't see what you're preaching, I guess? You know,
good
do
question.
They ever break?
That's a great question. Yeah. It's a great question.
Do they ever break because...
Yeah, some walk away, and that's their decision. That it's no longer for them. And they're not a bad person for that.
No.
They just looked in the mirror and understood this is not what direction I want to go.
And if they,
sometimes as coaching, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
When a coach wants it more than the athlete,
good point.
Then they're, you know, at some, and sometimes you have to sit down and have the hard discussion with someone until they have that defining moment. Because if they don't have the defining moment, they're never going to be in touch with how good do I really want to be.
Can you make the defining moment happen? Can you make that intrinsic motivation that you've spoken so much about? Can you force that to come about? Can you make them?
You can help cultivate it, but I don't think you can make that decision for them. Uh-huh. They have to make that decision that this is the direction I want to go. And I think what's easier to accomplish, it's not easy, but having the team handle that and each member of the team being selfless and working for one another is how some people see that defining moment that I can do this and I can do it. I'm not doing it alone. I'm doing it with a team.
You talk about this cultivating the intrinsic motivation. I've heard some coaches, Tom Brands, again, big University of Iowa wrestling fan here. He speaks about getting kids to buy in and believe in themselves and have that motivation inside of them. He does it by, and I don't know how scientific this is, he pushes them like crazy to the point that they do things that they never thought they could do, and then they think, whoa, and that he can help with that. He pushes them. You're the man. You're the man. You're a champion. You're a champion. You don't know how much you can do. You are so much better than you believe. You have no idea what the future holds for you. You're the best. You're the best. You're tough. Yada, yada, and all of a sudden they run further than they've ever ran. They last the entire match, and they're like, wow, I blew myself away. I never realized I could do this. What else can I do? Now I'm intrinsically motivated. Do you ever do anything like that?
I think you make a very valid point. I think that that is one of the responsibilities that a coach has, is to help young people, and as a leader, to help people to recognize, to be able to accomplish things they don't think that they can accomplish. I think that's a value that's very important. However, I don't think that you can put that intrinsic motivation into them. You can help them to realize, hey, I can do better than I've ever thought I ever could do. That's important. But I think that defining moment has to really occur. And I think that's in my 57 years of coaching at North Central College, that's probably the most frustrating thing in my early years of coaching, used to bother me a lot. Why doesn't everybody get it? Why doesn't everybody understand? Why does it sometimes feel like some people we're talking to the wall, and they're really not absorbing the real meat of what we're trying to accomplish within this program? But again, some do, some don't. And those that do will grasp it, and it'll carry on in their life for the rest of their life. And like Frank had mentioned earlier, we hear from them all the time, you know, from many, many, many ways, about how the program, the culture, the environment, the atmosphere has had a positive impact on their life. And that is of great value to us. Not how many medals they won, how many championships, anything like that. But if we've had anything we've said or done has had a positive impact on their life, then that gives me and us great satisfaction. Does everybody get that app? Absolutely not. Now, I don't have the answer to say how to get everybody get it, because we have not, if that's the case, we have not been successful, because we have do not have everyone grasp those values.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you about establishing a team culture. Mm. Maybe that's easier to do, not that it's easy, easier to do, though, than the individuals, because a team, it's a multicellular organism.
Yeah.
You know, you can affect a few and then hope that the effects you create spread. It just happens that way a little better. It's possible to establish a team culture a little more, I think. But before that, why should we even care about what North Central does for its team culture? Well, that's because it's an incredibly winning team. Of any college in America, any division, North Central running is absolutely incredible, and I was hoping you guys could talk about the accolades that grace the North Central College running program. So could you tell us about some of your accolades?
There's ups and downs years, and you know, the culture is what's most important. Whether you're winning or whether you're losing, you still have to have some type of culture for your team.
But for the people who want to know what you guys have done, how many things have you won? Conference titles, national titles, track, cross country in the past 4 decades.
I'm terrible with stats.
You'd have to look at their website, I think. No, I mean, obviously championship teams. There's 19, you know, national first place trophies for cross country in the trophy case.
In the past how many years, too?
Well, starting, what's the first championship? 1974?
1975.
1975 was the first national.
And we've had a lot of seconds, thirds, fourths.
Yeah, I can't remember them all. There's a lot of trophies in the trophy case. You know, conference. What's it, 40 plus in a row for cross
48
country?
48 or something, 48 like 47
in a row
or something.
Cross
like
country?
40 plus in a row. Yeah, the CCIW has to hate you guys.
Yeah, track and field. Augustana's been a great competitor for us. We might win 5 in a row and then lose 1 and then get back to it. But probably I can't recite them all because that's not what the most important thing is. You know, yeah, I have to go back at the website and look at to ask that question. I'd have to have that in front of me because that's not the most important. The most important is reaching the athletes and getting them to understand that, you know, it's about you as an individual and being the best you can be and then collectively being the best team. So the championships don't matter as much as what the individual and what each team gains for themselves, not the trophy.
It seems almost like the championships and the trophy case are just a pleasant byproduct of having a philosophy
absolutely.
Of being a life champion.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And we remind our athletes, and I know I've said it many times, you know, to remind them, you're not a time, and you're not a place. You are a person, and you're put on earth to be the best that you can be. I say, and we've said, we all have energy that we're bringing to the team. That energy can be positive or negative. And I'm getting back to your question about team. And when you've got enough people bringing positive energy to a team, then it magnifies every individual's performance on the team. When everybody is united together to become a we, not a me, then you get synergy. And synergy takes anybody's performance individually and collectively to a much higher level. And so that's great teams have that fundamental foundation of giving, sharing, and supporting one another. And I tell the people, and Grammy too, we all reinforce, the more you give to others, the more you're going to get back, you know, from others. And if you've got 50 guys on the team, and you're giving selflessly to them, you know, then you're going to have 49 guys giving back to you, your energy. And when you got their energy coming back into you, supporting you, it helps you to be far better than you could ever be alone.
It's hilarious that what you're saying is completely true, but it's also just so happens to be a Christian value,
yes,
and you're utilizing it in the athletic world, and it's working out.
Yep.
Wow. Oh, man.
And sometimes it doesn't work.
Right.
There's championship teams that aren't teams.
Yeah.
They just had more talent on that day than another team.
If they have not absorbed those values, then we feel we've failed, even if we won a national title. We want those internal values to be what really resonate.
You told the team that once
after
a national championship. The next week, brought them into the room, and what'd you tell them?
I said this, we won a national championship. I said to the outside world, you guys are a great team. You're a great team. You won the national title. Okay, no, I didn't say team. You're a great group of guys that happened to win the national title. But I said we were not a great team because we did not absorb and have the characteristics and values that could have helped us to magnify the talents that we had. We just had more talent than everybody else. That's why we won, not because we were a great team. We had more individual talent, but we weren't collectively a great team.
There were a lot of challenges day by day.
Yeah, exactly.
With personalities, with workouts, and sometimes it's like that. And we'd much rather have, you know, a collective unit, and sometimes they'll win and sometimes they won't. But sometimes there's teams that are very successful, but they're really not a team. And that's our goal, is to make them respect one another, everyone, you know, again, not just the five or seven guys that are running the race, everybody that's on the team. You may not like everyone, but you want to have the respective values and treat them as human beings and for what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
You know, they might not have as much talent as you, but they're trying to be the best they can be. And we have to reinforce that a lot of times with different groups.
How did those guys react after they won you a national title and you said, well, we won that battle, but we lost the war? You guys aren't as close.
I don't know exactly, but I think
we had to carry that into indoor track and outdoor track, and hopefully that you mend some relationships of, you know, again, you're not going to like everyone, but you can respect them for what they're doing.
Hmm. Yes, and, respect's a key word.
Yeah. And it's like that age-old saying, a rising tide raises all boats.
Yes.
Once you get that culture
going. That's synergy.
Going, that's synergy.
And culture can go both ways. It can go up and it can go down. You have the wrong mixture of the wrong fundamental values and the culture can be eroded.
And that's happened.
Yes.
It's happened.
Yeah.
At North Central?
Yes.
Why? What's the reason? So we can identify that coaches are going
to
watch this.
We have an alum who did a whole video called 16-1. So, and I'm not sure if it's on the internet much anymore, but he's a filmmaker, and he made a video called 16-1, The Rise and Fall of North Central College Cross Country. Whoa. It would take a long time to go through it all, but basically you can answer it.
I can answer that. You know, why did it happen? Because I had the misconception that everybody that came into the program was intrinsically motivated. I had the misconception that our upperclassmen would automatically be selling the values and virtues that helped form our fundamental foundation and our philosophy, and they were selling that. You have to have internal leadership, and they were helping to sell the young people. I assumed, and that was my fault, it wasn't their fault, and I allowed the culture to kind of erode. And the short answer to the question is that those values and virtues must be from the inside out, must be reinforced on a daily basis and a yearly basis, and you cannot assume that they're being taught and passed down from one generation to the next. I think it's like our society itself. You know, we have to be selling the right values and virtues that help to make our country great. We have to sell the values and virtues that make up great character that help make our team to be the very best that they can be. And you cannot leave it to chance. So you got to reinforce those things on a daily basis and certainly on a yearly basis.
Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense. And you could easily fall into the trap, I think.
Oh, yes. And I did.
That the culture continues to go on through each new generation of athletes for
I assumed wrong.
You have to keep up maintenance.
We had to make some coaching changes, you know, in the pro, not changing coaching, you know, in what we were doing.
What were those changes?
Well, one of the biggest one is there's a morning run that was optional that many athletes, you know, trained, a lot of runners, distance runners train twice a day. And Al never, he wanted it to be, if you want to be there, intrinsic. Get up at 6:30 in the morning and you're running a morning run. That's easy and it's social. And we felt as a coaching group, as a coaching staff, that maybe it was time that if we feel the morning run is important for training, then maybe it should become an official practice. And Al was concerned about changing that because it got away from, is it intrinsic or are you just doing it, you know, just to do it? Or do you really want to be good? And the coaching staff as a group decided, let's make the morning run a practice, which means you had to be there every morning. And once we instituted that, how many guys quit?
Within a year or something, 17 people that didn't buy into that because they just wanted to be on the team, but they weren't contributing and they weren't learning the values that we wanted, the mental toughness, the self-discipline that we talked about. And I think the morning run had an awful lot of advantages other than just the physical. You know, it's really, you know, get deep down inside of you to help you develop a sense of confidence in yourself.
The discipline of going to bed early so you can wake up for a morning, you know, a morning practice. And again, it wasn't hard.
No.
It was a morning run. We don't want to get into the physiology of it all and what's important about it. But we felt that as coaches, we should make this change and make it mandatory. And that helped bring that culture back.
Yeah.
But you said 17 guys quit.
Well, eventually. Yeah.
Eventually. Yeah. So was that the right move to?
Yeah. Because they did not want to buy into the values that we were adhering to, wanted them to absorb.
To be the best they can be.
To be the best that you can be. Right.
It killed the cancers type of thing. Not to call them cancers. Extreme,
I don't like that
bad
word.
Bad apples. What do you say? One bad apple can spoil the bunch.
Yeah.
Right.
But. You know, what you surround yourself with has a very, very powerful influence, you know, on everybody. And so we wanted people to be sold on the values that we thought really were fundamental foundation for our program.
It wasn't fair to the athletes who were trying to be the best they can do, be the best they can be to do all the little things that you had to do when more and more guys were at the other extreme where they're enjoying the success of your hard work, but they're not willing to be the best they can be and put in all the hard work it took to be the best you can be. They weren't being the best they could be.
I agonized with that, you know, but then I went back to the philosophy, personal best. If they're not striving to be the best that they can be, we're not saying to beat anybody. We're not saying you got to be, you know, first, second, third. You can
be last. Or be the national champions.
But if you're not striving to be the best that you can be with the opportunities that you have, then you're not contributing and adhering to the fundamental philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. I want to ask in just one second about the leaderboard with who the best coaches are. I shouldn't say that. The best programs in Division III history, all college divisions, and where you line up and all that. But first, the thing that just came to me, Al, is you grew up in Morton. You were Apostolic Christian. I've spoken to the elder of the Fairbury AC Church. I know all about this. Typically, they'll repent at some point, and they will stop participating in sports. If your family was truly AC and everything, that had to at least be a consideration for you to stop participating in sports. Was that the case, and how did you manage that?
Did you ever see the movie Chariots of Fire? It's kind of a, you know,
I've heard of it so much. I've seen it on
it's kind of an element in that, you know, too. Now I believed with you know, maybe not all my heart, but I believed in, you know, the fundamental values of that I learned, and I've said many times, most of my coaching that I learned, I really learned in Sunday school. And it came from the Sunday school, the Apostolic Christian Church, and that environment, the people that were there. But yes, there's that, you know, the glorification, over-glorification of the body, you know, over the soul, and there's always that, you know, question. And I don't believe in glorifying the body over the soul, but I always believed that running was in athletics was a way, if properly taught, was a way to enhance the values that really the church could really was really professing, you know. So I didn't think it eventually it was really a conflict at all.
Mm-hmm. Right. One of my favorite Latin sayings in Catholicism is mens sana in corpore sano, which means a strong mind and a strong body.
Yes.
The two go hand in hand. A strong mind, really what that means is a strong soul.
Yeah.
Right? If your soul's in the right place, you're going to want to take care of your body. You're going to want to push yourself even. You're going to want to strive, struggle, right? Love is to will the good of the other even at a sacrifice to yourself. In order for love to really be love, it must include some sacrifice, at least I think. And I agree with you. When properly taught, athletics and athletic pursuits
can, if conducted properly, you know, be a living laboratory and a pathway to learning many of these life values that are spiritual. And the glue of under character, the strongest, you know, part of character is integrity. And integrity's, you know, source comes from a higher power. And you use the word love. Where does love come from? Comes from God. And so when you have that in your heart, then, and you're professing that, then athletics can be a venue to help promote spirituality. I've said this, and I don't think everybody, I never heard anybody ever use it, but there's physiology of exercise, there's psychology of sport, and I believe there almost should be a spirituality of sport, because I think spirituality, which very, very difficult to explain, very, you know, can't see it, can't understand it, many, many people, but I think it's a critical, important part that can be played if athletics is conducted properly to help teach, again, life values. Grammy?
Yeah, and the challenges that they're going to face in their life.
Yeah, oh yeah.
We talk about that a lot, all the different challenges you're going to face, you know, trying to be the best you can be in sport. You're still going to have a lot of challenges in life, and all those characteristics, all those values that you've learned that are open to the top person on the team and the least talented person on the team can all learn those characteristics to be successful.
Right.
And they're going to need it for the challenges of life.
Absolutely. The struggle in athletics, I personally believe, is the ultimate analogy for the struggles of life, especially, I'm very biased, wrestling. Old Testament, Jacob wrestles the angel or wrestles God. No one's really sure. You know, I always say that because he doesn't play in a game of hoops. He doesn't do anything else. He wrestles. Wrestling is the only sport in the Bible, but he wrestles. He struggles with God. The word Israel literally means to wrestle with God.
Yes.
More than it means to struggle with God, it's to wrestle. I say that because I love wrestling.
Yeah.
But it means to struggle with God in this almost physical pursuit. Prayer often looks like a struggle. So it's much like an athletic, a physical pursuit. You're doing this, you're trying to manipulate reality, it's just difficult. I think sports are the ultimate. Hard sports especially, such as this, not necessarily dressage or something like that. It's a physical struggle where you have to battle with yourself inside your own mind. I think it's the ultimate analogy for life, and it goes hand in hand with spirituality, as it should. And we're getting towards the end of this conversation, guys. Really quick, where does North Central rank, the running program at North Central, on the grand leaderboard of college athletics in terms of titles, national championships? You mentioned John Wooden earlier. I know we spoke about Dan Gable beforehand as well. I forget who that swimming coach was who's also on that leaderboard, but
Councilman?
I'm not sure.
I don't pay attention to
a
lot of that stuff.
Oh, because you're competing with yourself.
Yeah, we
I really couldn't answer that.
I'm not sure. I believe we, you know, have more, actually you, because you've been the head cross country coach the longest, have more national titles than any program at 19, Division One, Two, or Three. I know University of Arkansas, you know, with the former coach, have more cross country, indoor, and outdoor track and field combined, but I don't know what that number is.
And I know Grammy feels the same way, those things don't matter. Yeah. But they do give credibility to what does matter and what we really feel is the most important thing that we're trying to impart in people's lives. So it gives credibility. People that want to listen to us will listen and say, maybe there's something there. But for, I think, a good percentage of people, they would think, hey, you're just talking about stuff that doesn't really apply directly to performance in athletics, the physical, the psychological. You're talking about something that's too vague, but it's what we believe, and it gives credibility for what we really want to impart, and that is those anchors, internal strengths to help young people to have perseverance during the adversities that will take place in everybody's life through their lifetime. And it helps them to gain experiences, you know, through the program that will help them to be a better person and really have, you know, find their way better to navigate through the cultural, I think, difficulties that exist today.
Yeah, we want to win. We're very competitive. As athletes and as coaches, we want to win, but we want to win the correct way. It's not all about winning. It's all the things that we've talked about, and that's more important. And when you do win, it leads, you know, some credibility, gives credibility that you're doing it the right way, because we want our athletes to do it the right way.
Yes.
Former athletes. We're retired now.
Yeah. Well, everyone, some of the – this coaching duo of the one of the greatest programs in history don't quite know where they stand in comparison to all the other teams that have been very winning as well, or some of the most other winningest teams is – goodness, you know what I'm saying here.
Yes.
I think there's a lesson in that, though. I think there's something absolutely beautiful about the fact that you don't compare yourselves to the others. That's not your primary goal, to stand at the top of the leaderboard. Your primary concern is making great young men and women who are going to go do great things with their lives and live in the right way. That's absolutely incredible. And this conversation's been even more incredible. I can't thank you enough for coming down to Normal, Illinois from Northwestern.
I mixed that up too.
I can't thank you enough for coming all the way down to Normal for this. It's been a great pleasure. Is there anything you two want to say before we wrap things up?
I'll just speak first. I want to thank you, and I'm sure Grammy will say the same thing. Thank you for the opportunity to come down here and speak freely of what we feel. And I love talking philosophy. I love talking values and the deeper things that influence really outstanding athletic performance. And like Grammy said, do we want to be successful? Yes. Do we want to? We're just striving to win. And all the values, virtues, and things that help to contribute that, but we think that those same values and virtues are going to help people to have anchors and to be successful in their life. So going through sport, we think that we're helping people with becoming winners in their lives. Grammy.
Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yes.
The pleasure is all mine, guys. And thank you, everyone, for watching and listening to The Paul Garcia Show. That was Al Karius and Frank Gramaroso. It's been a great pleasure. If you guys enjoy this episode, leave a comment. Tell me what you think of these two and their philosophies. Like this video. Share it on Facebook. Share the YouTube video. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or anywhere else, please leave a 5-star review or any kind of review that you think is appropriate. And until next Sunday, I'm your host, Paul Garcia. God bless and have a great week.